back. We're going to go ahead and finish taking your calls. Deborah, I'm sorry, you were going
to
say something?
Oh, no, I was just bringing us in. I didn't know who was supposed to bring us in.
All right.
Okay, we've got Dennis in Canada who is up next. We're going into overdrive here to finish taking the calls. Dennis, thank you for calling in. What is on your mind tonight? What's your question or comment?
Our listeners may be able to offer options in terms of human rights and other such things. We may also be able to write tort letters, me as an individual, to Fletcher, Evans, Caldwell, and their employers.
Well, that's going to be difficult because we don't really have standing to sue them. In fact, I already looked into that to see if the radio network could sue because one of my key employees has been kidnapped. And I looked up, I did a little bit of research on causes of action, and it looks like I might have a case because if you have a situation where you've got a company and one of their key employees has been kidnapped by another entity, then that other entity is directly harming the company of that person was employed at, and so they would have a cause of action. But in order for me to be able to successfully sue, then I would have to wait until Randy's appeal was successful or until his case was dismissed, and he would have to prove up a successful malicious prosecution claim, and then I would have a cause of action established. But us as third parties trying to sue the county or these public servants over this is not really a feasible situation. Even for me, it would be very difficult to prove. I'd have to show that, you know, perhaps I directly lost some sponsors as a result of this or this and that. So I would say tort letters from us probably would not be that effective. But the bar grievances and the judicial conduct complaints are certainly going to be effective, and the phone calls.
If yourself or Eddie are able to bind an individual such as myself, I would send a tort letter saying, you are harming me, if you're able to bind Randy.
Well, see, that's the problem. They're not directly harming us. We don't have a right. We don't have a right to listen to Randy Kelton on the air. Okay, that's a privilege.
I would be being harmed in that I'm not able to talk to Randy.
No, you're not. That's not going to hold up in court. That's not a cause of action.
The courts won't consider that a valid cause of action.
No.
I don't mind sending a tort letter in.
Well, you can try, but I don't think it would be a successful suit. Well, what else do you have for us, Dennis?
Other than the asking your listener of suggestions.
Well, everybody's welcome to make suggestions if they have any. I'm not sure we can implement them, but everybody's welcome to make them.
It might trigger some ideas.
Absolutely. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, right now, the bar grievances and the judicial conduct complaints and the donations and the phone calls are what's going to be most effective, especially the donations. Okay, and especially the phone calls, too. Okay, let's see who else we have on the line. We've got several callers. Okay, Mike from Texas was next, another Mike. Mike, thank you for calling. What is your question or comment tonight?
Yeah, a real quick one. I was just concerned that, you know, the gentleman that called in says, yeah, he can't get any, he doesn't have audio on his computer. And I was hoping this was going out across the broadcast because on the back of his motherboard, he can go down to Fry's or Best Buy and buy a $10 set of speakers and plug them into his motherboard, and they're going to work.
Absolutely. I was going to say that, too. I'll bring that up on the next show.
Yeah. So anyway, but I appreciate all the work you guys do, and I'm very sorry that Randy's had his issue, and I'm going to come down to the seminar and give you guys some money for that. I definitely want to start going to Eddie's seminar down at Brave News Books, so somehow or another I'll get that to you guys, but thank you guys for what you do, and I know you're in overdrive, so I'll let the next caller come to you guys.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. We appreciate that.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going now to Ron in Wisconsin. Ron, thank you for calling in. What is your question or comment for us tonight?
Hi, Deborah. I really am sorry about hearing about Randy. That's really tragic. My question is, I need to file criminal complaints against public officials, police, and judges. I don't have a grand jury in Wisconsin, or at least they told me they don't have one. And I don't know who to charge. I don't know where to send the criminal complaints to.
You need to read your state criminal procedure code first, but most likely the first stop is going to be either a magistrate or the district attorney. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, I was going to say that's exactly right. You need to read the statutes regarding the filing of a criminal complaint and who's allowed to take it or who it can be submitted to once it's done. That will tell you where to go. If you don't have a grand jury to go to, then that's absolutely correct that normally it will be a magistrate of some sort, meaning a judge using a different set of powers, okay? That's all a magistrate is most of the time. Though here in Texas, we have people that are magistrates that are not judges. The mayor, for instance, is a magistrate, but they are not a judge.
And
so that's where I would start is whatever serves as your code of criminal procedure, look up complaints and see what it says.
Okay. In Wisconsin, we have a codified chapter. Everything is a chapter in the law, in the statute. We don't have like a penal code or criminal code and stuff like that.
It'll be a chapter in your state code. The same. It's the same thing in New Mexico. They just have one code, and then they have various chapters. So you just look up the. You just do a search for criminal procedure or criminal code, whatever chapter, whatever they call it, in whatever chapter.
Okay. Is there anyone that you that I could contact in Wisconsin that's affiliate with you, like maybe the guy from Madison or something like that?
We have Mark from Wisconsin that calls in frequently. We don't. I don't have his phone number. I think I do have his email. But folks, listen. We've got a new website that is coming, and we are gonna. It's gonna be set up as a social networking page where the listeners will be able to social network with each other. It's not set up yet. Also, well, there's the gentleman, Eric Sayward from We Are Change Wisconsin. He's the one that's setting it up, and it's taking a while, you know, these kinds of very complex back-end database website setups are complicated, and it takes a long time. We did get the funds for him to do the network, to do the website a couple of months ago, and he has been working on it, and he's shown me a little bit of it. He's just about got the social networking part of it set up, but it's not quite ready yet. So I will let the listeners know when that is ready. And Ron, if you want to send me an email, I will forward it to Mark in Wisconsin so that I can try to put you in touch with him for the time being.
Okay, thanks a lot, Deborah. I appreciate it.
Okay.
And I'll listen to the rest of the callers. I'll let you go right now. Thanks a lot.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Ron, just make sure it contains all the contact information you want him to have access to reach you.
Sure, I will. Thanks, Ed.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ron.
Bye.
Okay, we are going now to, we've got Kevin in Texas, and then Josh, and then Clint. Kevin, thank you for calling in. What is on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I just called the Cherokee County Jail to ask about Randall. And I just wanted to remind people that Randall is at their mercy. And if people don't call up and act with respect toward these people, that they can make his life very miserable.
Yeah, Kevin, we just talked to you, right? Weren't you the gentleman that said you didn't have audio on your computer?
Right.
Okay, listen, the caller just called in, and I was going to tell you on the air, too, before we went to break, go down to Fry's, go down to Radio Shack, or I wouldn't go to Walmart. I boycott that place, but go to Fry's or something. You can get a pair of computer speakers for $5.
I've got computer speakers. They just don't work.
Well, then go get another pair, man. Okay, they only cost $5 or $10 for the cheap pair, and plug them in the back of your computer.
Well, it may be
okay?
A sound card, not a speaker.
Yeah, but I think it's a sound card because on the control panel it says no sound card installed.
Okay, we'll get you a sound card, okay? You can get one for about $10 at Discount Electronics here in Austin.
Okay, but I just want to let people know, you know, don't call up these people acting like, you know, sometimes some of our people do, like a crazy nut. It's yes, sir, no, sir, and thank you, ma'am.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. And, folks, we will be running a short PSA on the listener line. We're going to set something up on the listener line so that folks can press an option to get the phone number when they call in, or we're going to set something up on the caller line so when the phones are off, you can get the phone number to call and such like that. I'll get more information to you guys on that. Probably in the next day or so, And we will also be, I'll also be posting the phone numbers on the website. Okay, we've got two more callers on the line. We've got Josh in California is up next, and then Clint. Josh, thank you for calling in. What is on your mind tonight? Where's your question or comment?
Hi, I'm calling in. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm in a lot of similar problems with Randy. What I'm worried is that I believe that terrorism is, like, sweeping our nation, basically. I've had about, like, a $20,000 in total ID theft of bail bonds and whatnot. And basically, I've had my power of attorney revoked. I've went through sovereignty, and I've been appointed judges. Basically, I've had, I've tried to get federal indemnity. I've had jail problems.
Well, what is your specific question right now? What, are you involved in a case? Are you being prosecuted? Or are you, have you filed a civil lawsuit, or has somebody sued you? What is your specific case?
I was going to get to that next. What the problem is that I've had fraudulent contracts, ID theft, and then I've followed all of Randy's casework, and I've had to redo it a little bit. But the main question that I have is I don't know what to do, because I've went into court, and there's an issue here that I need to address before asking this, but the main thing that is the problem is that with these ID thefts, I've had fatal injuries that that have occurred.
Wait, you're talking to us. Therefore, no fatal injury.
I was
going to
say, what are you, a ghost? Look, can you just tell us what the charge is against you? Are you being prosecuted for something?
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know why, but there's been traffic tickets that don't make any sense. There's been DUIs, and I don't drink alcohol. I follow all the laws. I have a sign on my car that says non-commercial.
Okay, wait a minute. You're not answering our question. What specifically is the case, is the charge against you right now?
Yeah, there's DUI charges. There's tickets that are...
Wait, stop. You're going into all kinds of stuff. How many cases do you have ongoing in a court right now?
Well, I'd say about three so far. Some sort of fake warrants that are...
Wait. I don't want your commentary on fake or anything like that. I need some specific answers here before I can help you, if I can help you at all.
Okay.
You have three cases. What? Are they traffic cases?
Yeah, they are traffic cases.
Okay. Who charged you with a traffic offense?
Well, what happened was the police, I don't know if they're really police or not, because...
Josh, wherever you're at, come back to the light and answer my question. Who charged you?
The police did.
City police, county police, state police. Who charged you?
It switched, actually. They do this, and it's at one time it was the Highway State Patrol, and then they switched it to the sheriff, and then it's
on what charge?
On the DUI, it was the State Patrol, and
the State Patrol is the one that arrested you.
Yeah, they arrested me for no reason. They shot
okay. And then what does the county have to do with this?
What did you say? I'm sorry, I didn't hear what your question
what
was.
Does the county have to do with this? You said they switched it from the state to the sheriff. Tell me what you mean by switched.
Well, because I have a driver's license, and They claim.
Okay, wait a minute. What does not having a driver's license have to do with the consumption of alcohol?
I don't drink.
Two different issues here. So stick with the first one. The state police arrested you for a DUI, correct?
Right. Right.
Then you said they switched it. What did they switch?
Well, they... The problem is they... It's kind of hard because I've been trying to fight this with the same...
Josh, and you're going off on a tangent again. You're not answering my question.
Okay.
If you can't tell me what is going on with the questions I'm asking you, there's no way you're going to go to court and be successful at doing anything. You're making a lot of accusations and assertions rather than giving me a set of facts. I need facts. Let's start with that. Now, one more time. What did you say they are switching between the state and the county?
Okay, well, first off, what I meant by switching was that they claim that my driver's license is in another state, but that violates my federal indemnity because...
Wait.
Okay.
You're making legal arguments and presumptions. I didn't ask you for any of that. And I don't know what you mean by federal indemnity. Are you under witness protection or something?
Well, I wish I was. I need some help and I need some advice on something.
Well, at the moment, I'm completely in agreement with the help part. But that being said, I need you to answer what I'm asking you and stick to what I'm asking you. Can you do that?
It seems like two DUIs and then a warrant. And the warrant, that's where these three things, and I've learned not to appear because...
Okay, Josh, I put you on mute. You need to listen this direction for a second. You're not making any sense. You're not giving me answers to my questions. If you will not answer my questions, I cannot get the facts I need to help you. I don't care what your legal argument or point of view is. I need you to answer what I ask. Now, I'm going to unmute you one more time and let you try to do that. If you cannot do that, I'm going to go to a different caller.
Yeah, and I want to make a comment here before you unmute him, Eddie. Folks, we are very pressed for time right now. I need to review Eddie's document for Randy. I have deadlines to meet for the movie that I'm working on. We are in overtime right now. We are in overdrive. We don't get paid for what we're doing anyway. We especially don't get paid for going into overdrive mode. I have things that I need to be doing right now, and I am putting them off so that we can finish taking the calls, mainly because tonight we were taking calls about Randy's case. So, Josh, you've got to be clear, you've got to be succinct, and answer Eddie's questions, and I would suggest that you need to sit down and write a narrative in chronological order of just the facts of what happened to you in each of these separate cases and leave out all this indemnity stuff in your legal opinions, okay? But please, we've been on the phone with you now for at least 10 minutes, and that is a very long time to keep one listener, to keep one caller on the line. So let's try to get through this as quickly as possible. We've got another caller on the line, and then I need to go because I have a deadline I have to meet tonight for the movie. All right, Eddie, go ahead.
All right, sorry about that. What it is specifically is two DUIs and then a warrant for failure to appear. That's exactly what the charges were. But am I saying that clear enough?
That's clear. That didn't hurt at all. No extra holes, no dents. It was painless, right? That's what I needed to know.
Yeah.
Now, you got charged with two DUIs. You did not go to court. Why?
Well, because I'm sovereign in the private...
Wait, stop. How did you become a sovereign? What is a sovereign in your mind?
Someone that believes in the Constitution and...
Oh, that's a patriot. What's a sovereign, Josh?
Sovereign meaning like that you don't have any affiliation with government entities.
Not true, Josh. A sovereign is somebody that has the power to control others and to make law. Now, when we actually speak of sovereignty in America, what we mean is free men. Sovereign means that we can rule over others. We don't want to do that. We don't do that. We are free men. But with freedom comes responsibility. When you go out on a road intoxicated, you endanger me and my property. I find that unacceptable. We pay these public servants to ensure that what you're doing doesn't hurt someone else. Now, I agree, they take that way outside of the parameters we gave them. But the point here being, you're taking sovereign as I can do any dang thing I want, anytime I want, and nobody can say different. That's not true.
I only became sovereign because of these harassments.
You're not sovereign, Josh.
Then I guess, I'm sorry, never mind.
Okay, you need to do is go back to listen to last Monday night's show. I went into this issue specifically.
Yeah.
I covered this in great detail about what a sovereign is and what it isn't in relation to how we work here in America. Okay? What you're buying into is one of these legal voodoo arguments about a sovereign that makes you a separate independent king over everything else. That's not the way our system is set up to work, at least not in that particular sense. We didn't create government to rule over us. We created government to protect our rights and our property from intrusion by others. There is a very sensible argument in that your actions endangered the rights and property of others. Do you agree or disagree?
I know for a fact, and I have a witness here that knows that I've never endangered anybody's harm. I've been the one that had my window shattered.
Okay, well, Josh, if that's the case, if you weren't drinking that night, if you hadn't had a drop of alcohol to drink all day and all night long, then what you do is you go to court and you submit your evidence.
And then you sue them for what they did to your car and to you.
Yeah, then you sue them. But you can't just say, I'm sovereign, I don't have to go to court. You'll end up in jail with that line of thinking.
Right.
You get summoned to court, you have to go to court. That's just all there is to it. This is what we tell everyone on this show. Don't ignore it. You go and you fight it, and you present your evidence to support your side.
Okay.
But if you just ignore the court, I mean, I hear this argument all the time about these UCC guys and this commercial redemption that doesn't work. I mean, for one thing, if you don't have any commercial contracts with the government, why do you want to go around filing a bunch of UCC documents and digging yourself even further into a commercial agreement with them? You just established a commercial agreement with them by filing a UCC form, okay? That's not the way to do it. That's not the way to go. You conduct your business to avoid setting up any commercial agreements with them. That's the way you keep yourself out of these entanglements. But to just say, I don't have to go to court, that doesn't work. I've heard all this talk about, well, they're not real, they don't have jurisdiction, okay, they can't do anything to me, I'm not going to go. Well, the pretend court and the pretend bailiff is going to put you in their pretend jail, just like what they did to Randy Kelson. They had no jurisdiction, they had no lawful authority, but they railroaded him in a kangaroo court into a one-year prison sentence, and he is in their pretend jail right now, and now we're having to spend money and ask for money from listeners to get him out. And so we have to approach this in a smart way, and we always say, don't ever miss a court appearance. You go to court. That's all there is to it. And if you have a warrant for failure to appear, then you need to deal with that. You either, if you can't give them money to get rid of the warrant, you may not have any other option other than turn yourself in and go through the booking process so that you can get in front of a magistrate. You'll have to check the criminal procedure code in your state or see if the warrant has a bond on it, has a price on it that you can just pay it off. Eddie, do you have any other comments? Eddie, you still there?
I said, nope, that about sums it up for me.
Okay, Josh, listen, we need to move on because we're in overtime mode and we've got other callers on the line. I would suggest making a narrative of the specific facts in and what has happened in your case and going over that and looking up the procedure code in your state. If you have a warrant for your arrest right now, you need to deal with that or you're going to end up in jail. They will pick you up at some point. So you need to either figure out how you can pay off that warrant or you may just have to turn yourself in so that you can deal with it. Okay, Josh?
Well, that's what I'm afraid of is because when I go to court, they don't ever, nothing ever works. That's
okay,
well, no kidding.
You need to look, you need to read the
law.
You need to read the law. You need to find out the information on your warrant. If you're afraid to go to court because you're afraid you're going to get arrested, send somebody else down there to make copies of what's in your file. First, you need to find out more information. You need to find out if there's a cash bond associated with a warrant where you can pay it off. Or if you're going to have to turn yourself in or what the and read the law to see what the proper procedure is at this point for you, okay?
Okay, what do you mean, like a certain type of a bond?
I don't know. It's different in different states. Sometimes when people have warrants out for their arrest, it's associated with a cash amount where you can just pay it to make the warrant go away as long as you sign a promise to appear. And then you better appear on whatever the court date is that they assign you or else there'll be another warrant for you. So sometimes you can go and pay a fine to get rid of the warrant along with a signature of a promise to appear. So you need to find out if there is a monetary amount associated with your warrant that you can pay along with signing a promise to appear. You need to find that out. And I can't answer any more questions on that because I don't know what I don't have your file in front of me. You need to get that information from your file.
Okay. Well, is there anybody that I could possibly talk to later on?
No, we don't. This is not a 24-hour legal help desk. We do a radio show. We're in overtime mode right now. We're doing this on our own time and our own dime. I'm not taking any off-air clients even for pay because I don't have time. Randy can't for obvious reasons, and I think Eddie is maxed out on clients as well. We've got to make a living somehow. We can't help people with their cases for free. We have a limited amount of time that we can donate to listeners to help people with their case on the air, and we've given you about 20 minutes of our time, and that's all we have right now, okay? So the best thing that I can tell you to do is get somebody to get a copy of your file and see if there's a monetary amount associated with the warrant where you can pay a fine to make the warrant go away along with a promise to appear, okay?
Well, wouldn't that be entering a social contract?
No, Josh. Look, we don't have any more time. We don't have any more time. In fact, the caller I was just about to go to just dropped off.
Okay,
I'm sorry. We don't have any more time.
I'm just really scared because...
That's why you get somebody else to go and get a copy of the file for you.
Okay, so I should get someone like a witness that's been with me.
It doesn't have to be a witness. You can get anybody to go to the court and make a copy of your file. You just need a copy of your file, that's all, to find out if there's a cash amount associated with a warrant so that you can pay it off and sign a promise to appear, okay?
Okay.
All right, and the caller that was on the line, if you want to try to call back in, if you're still listening, Clint from Texas,
Clint.
He's calling back in right now. Okay, Josh, we need to move on. All right, we've got Clint from Texas. Clint, thank you for calling back. What is your question or comment tonight?
You're welcome. The comment or the statement was made earlier that the network, the bill for the phones wasn't paid. I need to know if it's extremely crucial. I can, if Eddie's able, I can travel up North Austin and help with that. I just don't know how.
Well, no, we need donations right now, but it looks like we've got barely enough donations have come in tonight that I can take care of the phone bill. Just barely.
Okay.
It's actually not quite enough, but yeah, we do still need the donations.
Well, just let me know if it's extremely crucial, I can, and if Eddie's able to do.
Well, it's not like they're fixing to get cut off tonight or something. I just need to get money to pay the bill. That's all.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
Clint, you have my phone number. Just give me a call, and if you want to meet up and do something, then let me know.
I mean, I don't wait until the last second until, like, there's a shutoff notice and it's going to be cut off tonight. It's not like that, you know. But it is the fact that Randy financially has supported this network. And, you know, he usually is able to give me commissions on the first of every month, and today is the third. And so I have to make plans. You know, I have to make other plans. That's all.
Would it help you out if I do that as soon as possible, or would it even matter if I wait until I see for Eddie's classes?
You can just wait till you see Eddie. That's fine.
Okay. All right, good night, guys. Thanks for your patience and teaching and your work and your bravery.
All right, thank
Thanks,
you,
Clint. Appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night. Yeah, I'm not trying to make it out to sound like the phones are going to get shut off tomorrow or something. Okay, we just need to get money, and we need to get it as soon as we can. All right, we've got one more caller on the line. He's an unscreened caller. Sorry, I haven't had a chance to screen the call. Last caller of the night. Caller, what is your name and what state are you calling from?
Hello, Deborah. This is Harroward from Truth News Radio Australia.
Hey, Harroward. How are you?
Hi. Look, I don't have a lot to say. I just read the news on your website, and I just wanted to call in just to give you my support. It's just really, really, I'm just really shocked.
Harroward, if you haven't been listening to the show, we're going to post the podcast in just a few minutes. We explained what happened with Randy. He was railroaded with running a private investigations business without a license, which is totally preposterous. He wasn't running any such business at all. I mean, you can listen to the archive, but for folks out there who don't know who this is Harroward Fenton from We Are Change Australia, Truth News Australia. Actually, I promised Harroward a show on this network probably over a year ago, and we have just been struggling to set it up. But what we're going to start doing as soon as possible is on Saturday nights from 9 to 11 p.m., we're going to be running his podcast. He's making podcasts right now. He's been making podcasts for quite a while, so... Thank you for your patience, Harroward.
No, look, I know it's going to happen, and I know you're going to win. I mean, everything that you're doing is right, and it's going to work out. You know, it's just this is a little road bump.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the way I feel about it. And
they don't know me, though. I drive bulldozers.
Right, yeah, and I'm glad to hear you're giving really good advice to some of these people who call in about the sovereignty issues, which, you know, it's actually quite big over here in Australia too. A lot of people are kind of peddling a lot of these ideas that are not quite correct about how you can avoid paying fines and you don't have to go to a court summons and all these things. And a lot of them are actually getting burned really badly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just great to see that you're, you know, you're really just giving people the expert advice.
Well, thank you. Harroward. We appreciate that. You know, we just don't want to see anyone get in trouble, and we've seen a lot of people getting in a lot of trouble, and we just don't want to see that for our listeners. We want to help as much as we can.
And, you know, a lot of people who are actually kind of teaching this stuff are actually running scams as well. And this is a bit of a concern because there are lots of workshops going on all the time run by people who are telling people that they don't have to pay these fines. And some of these people, I've actually found out, have actually been running little scams of their own. So there's a lot of levels of trickery going on with this whole field of, like, the free man, you know, concept and
right.
the sovereignty concept.
Right, absolutely.
But good luck with everything, and I know you're going to win, and looking forward to getting my show on the air, but that's about all I've got to say, Deborah. Just really hope that everything works out, and I know it will.
Well, thanks, Harroward. It's so good to talk to you, and we were on the Skype chat a few minutes ago, but we really do appreciate your support, and again, I apologize in public that it's taken me so long to get your show up on the air. Harroward's going to be doing his show on Saturday nights from 9 to 11. It's the only time that we can coordinate with the other side of the planet, you know, because Harroward has his day job and all that. And, you know, I got to have a night off. I can't produce radio shows 7 nights a week. And so we're coordinating to get him a producer. Chris is going to run the show. But, you know, as everyone knows, Chris and I are very busy working on his movie, A Noble Lie, which exposes the Oklahoma City bombing as an inside job. And we're getting close on that one, Harroward. And in the meantime, I'm going to try to get your podcast up as soon as possible for you.
But it's going to be great because we're going to be able to have call-ins from Australia and the U.S.
Yes.
And there'll be a lot of people be calling in here and people calling in from your end. And I think it'll be quite a unique kind of mix. I'm really excited about it. And as you probably know, Australia is going into a carbon tax shortly.
Oh, boy.
And the country is in uproar over it. We've got at least 80% of the people do not want it. All of the polls show that. The government railroaded the population last year. They were re-elected on a platform promising there would be no carbon tax because it had been such an unpopular policy. And then immediately after they won the election, they turned around and said, actually, there will be. And since then, it's just been an unbelievable situation here where it's a total undermining of the democratic process. But that's one of the big things that we're going to be talking about on our show until we can turn this around.
Well, I can't wait to hear more about it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And on speaking of carbon tax, on Thursday night and just weather-related issues, because, of course, we all know that global warming is a scam. There is no such thing. This Thursday, we're going to be having meteorologist Scott Stevens on as our guest. He came out as a whistleblower talking about how Hurricane Katrina was controlled and possibly even cooked up from scratch and maneuvered and steered into New Orleans. And you can see like all the pinwheel-shaped square designs inside the cloud structures. I mean, I'm sorry, folks, clouds aren't square. Okay, they're not rectangular and in cube format. And on this Thursday, we're going to be talking about chemtrails and how chemtrails have been causing the drought here in Texas. And, folks, I can testify that I've seen it with my own eyes on multiple occasions. I'm going to have a guest on that has watched this on a daily basis for over a year and a half. Every time the thunderheads start to build in Texas, here come the planes spraying, and it spreads out this white milky haze, and then all the thunderheads go, pew, and they just fall over and just pancake and just fizzle out. It's just a horrible thing to watch. I've watched it with my own eyes, and you know they're spraying something because you can watch how, like, if you're writing with a Sharpie and it starts to sputter, like when it's running out of ink, well, that's what happens when these planes fly and they're spraying. When they run out of the material that they're spraying, you can see, like, an intermittent, like, it's as it's running out. Well, it's not running out of fuel, folks. The plane doesn't fall out of the sky. They're spraying something. And, by the way, I'm going to be giving all kinds of websites, government websites, that show photographs of the planes and the sprayers. And there's, like, a flash movie, and you can zoom in and do, like, a three-dimensional, you know, like a Google Maps or whatever, in an intersection where you can look around at the sprayers and everything. They admit they're doing this. We've looked up the patents, the U.S. government patents by these defense contractors. Ever since 1975, they've been spraying aluminum and barium in the atmosphere. This is admitted on government websites. So we're going to be going over chemtrails and how chemtrails have been causing the drought on Thursday with meteorologist, well-renowned meteorologist, Scott Stevens.
Wow, that is incredible. Really keen to check that out.
Yes. All right, well, anything else for us, Harroward?
No, look, I think that'll be all. Yeah, talk to you soon.
Okay, talk to you soon, Harroward. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, we come to the end of our extended broadcast. Do you have anything else, Eddie?
No, ma'am. I'm good to go.
Okay, folks, so in the meantime, check the website. And Eddie, why don't you give out that number one more time?
Our website number?
No, the number for where folks can call the prosecutor and the court.
Okay, the court, the Cherokee County Court at Law, phone number 903-683-6497. Cherokee County Attorney's Office, 903-683-2423. Please call each of these offices, ask for information regarding the Cherokee County Jail, and whether or not they have a Randall D. Kelton incarcerated there, and the number to contact the jail. This will allow us to keep them in know that we are watching.
And call
the jail. Call the jail and ask them about Randy and how he's doing, whether or not he can receive mail, so on and so forth. Get as much information as possible. Let them know that we are not going to let them forget he's there.
And when Eddie finishes writing up the judicial conduct complaints and the bar grievances, I'll be posting that on ruleoflawradio.com so that folks can download it and start mailing them in. All right, folks, well, y'all have a very blessed evening, and we will be back on Thursday. Please check out the rest of the great shows on this network tomorrow. Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio, Agenda 21 Talk at 8. Of course, Truth Exposed Radio on Wednesday night at 6 p.m., Free Mind Report at 8, and we'll be back on Thursday. Y'all have a very blessed night.